So
how much is that?
Welcome to the Podcast Editor's Mastermind. You're seeing it real time as it happens. We're going to have some fun today and talk about some good stuff related to the sales page or the services page on your podcast editor's website. I'm Brian Itzmer. You can find me at toptieraudio.com. And over here is
Jennifer Longworth of bourbonbarrelpodcasting.com. And there's an I on my name just because there is.
Jennifer I.
And I'm Daniel Abendroth. You can find me at rothmedia.audio.
Unable to join us this week is Carrie. We miss her.
Her new website is carrie.land.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Carrie.land. Welcome to Carrie Land. I should have said that. So we were talking kind of off the air about the conversation that we had last week. And there was, I think, a lot of interest in things like the sales page and some of that stuff. So we thought, hey, why don't we take this a little bit further? And we'll talk about what should be on your services page. Now, for those of you that are under the illusion that the three of us are experts and actually know what we're talking about, I would like to refer you to an actual professional of some kind. But we thought, hey, let's provoke some questions and have some good conversations and see where this goes. Our hope is that not only will we gain some insights as we share our thoughts, but maybe you will as well, so we can all improve our sales or our services page. So I'm going to stop there and let either of you two chime in and kind of add some things that make sense to what I said.
I don't have a sales and services page.
What?
So I'm actually talking with someone about redoing my website after having all these conversations. So I'm like, hey, can we talk on Friday? And then I'll tell you if I need to add another page.
I used to have one that I was particularly fond of. Well, at the time I was. And then I just kind of like waffled back and forth between like, should I have prices? Should I not? What should I include? What should I not? And so I just kind of like threw together a section that I could cover the needs, but then with the intention of coming back to it and actually like fixing it. And that was 4 years ago at this point.
So you've totally been on top of that. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that I think that's a great place to start, right? Because the first question I have when somebody says, hey, what needs to be on my services page? The first question in my mind is, do you need one? Right. So Jennifer, you don't have one. What are your thoughts? Do you need one?
Well, this worked for me without one for a while. So no, but I mean, I can understand the argument to have one.
Yeah. And I would question like, have you been okay without one? But like, do you know that you haven't missed out on potential clients because you don't have one?
I don't think there's any way to know that.
That's the whole Joe Rogan thing, right? Everybody says Joe does this on his podcast, so I should too, and I will be a massive success. Well, Jennifer doesn't have a sales page. If I don't have a sales page, can I be a massive success like Jennifer? Well, I think the answer is maybe. And in my mind, I think it goes back to the question before the question, which is, does your ideal client need to see a services page? Would they be turned off by that? Would they be, I don't want to say turned on because that sounds weird. Would they find that engaging or disengaging if they saw or didn't see one? I will share that I still have one on my website. I've thought about taking it off, but one of my best clients, the reason she was my client was because when she went to my website, she found a page that says, this is the stuff that I do. This is how I do it. And this is what it costs. And I think I had pricing on the website at the time. I remember having this conversation. The costing might not have been part of that. But she said it was really easy to figure out, does what this person offer meet the needs? In my case, this is a white label client. So does this meet the packages that I want to offer my clients? And so in my case, I would have lost out on what has turned out to be in many years, 30% of my gross income if I had not had that sales page, because she would have just gone on. And it doesn't have to be sales like, I'm not talking like a long form sales page like you get in those three video series that you get from like Jeff Walker or something. I'm talking about more like a SaaS page where you go, this is the stuff that we do, or these are the packages that we offer, or things like that. So in my case, at least for that client, it made a huge difference that I had one. But I think it goes back to, do they need it? Are there specific clients that don't? Jennifer, what about your ideal client? Why is it that they don't need to see one? Do you know?
Because they've met me in person. They didn't find me online.
And so at that point, as long as they can afford the budget, I guess pricing and packages don't really matter because you've already talked to them, right?
Right. I mean, the client who I'm signing up this week, we knew each other last year, hadn't talked for a while, but she was told she needed to do a podcast. So who she called? Me. And that's like my ideal clients, people who I've met
right.
in real life. So I don't necessarily want someone who's just finding me out of the blue.
So in that sense, yours is almost, the fact that it's missing is helping to filter out people that aren't the people you want to work with.
This is true.
So, I mean, in that case, I mean, done, right?
Right. And the girl who did find me on Google recently, she looked for podcast editing in Kentucky was her Google search, which leads you to me, right? And she's a Kentuckian and we got hopped on the call and it was all good. She didn't need a pricing page.
Daniel, you said that you have one that's just something that you've thrown together. What do you have on yours?
Should I share my screen?
And yeah, go ahead.
So there you go. So this is my services page. It's just like a quick little sales pitch about kind of like the more like salesy language. You know, podcast editing is frustrating. It's time consuming. That's why you should hire me to do it. With like a little bit of like kind of like an elevator pitch of what I do in a nutshell. And then like a detail of like everything that I do or everything that is an option. And then down here, so I have like a little thing like, if you're ready, let's schedule a call. And then I go into more detail about some of the things that we offer. So one-on-one consultation, a new show launch, audiograms, all that with like a blurb about what that is and why you should do it. And then FAQs, and then like my newsletter lead magnet. So yeah, that's what I have.
And so if I'm looking at this properly, you have essentially one package with add-on services. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So you've listed what it is that you do, got a place for people to contact you. So there's some kind of call to action. You've got a description of services and then the FAQ. If you were to go through this, is there any part of this that you're going, I don't know if that's valuable, or is there anything that you're thinking, I should probably add something?
So I would take out like technical jargon. So like EQ boost, noise removal, that kind of thing. Anything that's a little too technical, I would take out and just kind of focus on the consultation and maybe put more information about like what those consultations are. Yeah, I think overall, actually looking at it now, I think like, I don't know what information I would remove, but I would definitely like clean this up to make it more visually impactful as opposed to just a wall of text.
Have you thought about putting a link to any of the like any examples of your work as part of your page, right? So, or testimonials or anything like that.
That would be a good idea, I think. Testimonial wise, I probably not linked my work.
Okay.
Because I have like issues on that.
Let's talk about those. We like issues.
Yeah. Let's talk about those. What kind of issues?
So I'd have to like be selective about what clients I have. Because I have some clients sure. whose audio like I'm not super thrilled with.
Mm, true.
And I wouldn't want to list those. And also, okay, so I'm going to say what I'm thinking, but like thinking it now, like I can realize the flaw in my logic. So showing the final product isn't a good example of what I can do because sure. you're not hearing what I did. But also, if you can hear a well-polished episode, instill that kind of like desire, like, you know, that's what I want. I want this good sounding audio, whether or not it's... So like the before and after, mm-hmm. I think could be useful, but just having... Even not knowing what the before was, a solid after is still like really powerful.
I've actually kind of gone back and forth on that one. Because for a while, I had really considered putting a before and after up there. Part of the hangup was I didn't want to display any of my clients in a bad light by, right? And so I want to be sensitive to that. But as I thought about it more and more, I don't think most of my ideal clients are going in to the page and digging into what can he do to fix bad stuff? They're going, in my wildest dreams, what do I think I could aspire for my show to sound like? And so for that reason, I've actually selected, and we can take a look at my website in a few minutes if we need to. I've actually selected a portfolio of a few specific episodes. And I make it clear, this is not everything, but these are some episodes that I have worked on that are representative of the work that I'm capable of doing. And I think, and of course, that's up to you and what's right for your ideal client, because maybe your client is less concerned with that and they're more concerned with growth or something else. And so maybe here's another question. Is there a value of providing some kind of case study? So if you've got a testimonial from a client that you could link, so you put the testimonial on there and then you link to the case study of what you did where you can highlight the results. Maybe that's something that would be more valuable to your client because they're I mean, they're basically wanting to become, in a sense, mini celebrities. I know that's not really the goal, right? But they want to make a change. And so they want to reach more people and they want to deal with them in a deeper way and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. And I think this is a thought I had. So you're saying that like one of your clients was drawn to you because you had the pricing, like all this information.
Yeah.
But you said that was a white label one. So like that's somebody looking to hire an editor for somebody else, right?
Yes. But then I've also had a few that have reached out to me, right? That's the one that stands mm-hmm. out. But there are others that have gone through my pricing page as well.
So I think like it comes down to who your target audience is. Like for me, my ideal client isn't going to care about how I EQ a show or how I do like the technical thing and like
right.
how exactly I make their show sound good. They just want to know that I'm going to make having a podcast easy for them. So I'm going to focus on like the convenience that I offer that they won't get from either like another editor or from them trying to do it themselves.
In other words, what makes me better than Brian?
Yeah, exactly. As a podcast editor, if I were looking for like a contractor, I would be more interested in how they EQ, how good their technical skills are.
Right. I think if you were somebody that was dealing with people that are primarily interested in growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would probably want to see, this is how we doubled their downloads in 14 days, and then how we did it again in the next 28 or something like that, right? Because of course, there's not going to be necessarily linear growth, but that might be something where there would be value in that kind of thing. But yeah, I think, especially for what you do, if you've got those testimonials and you can just show how your process is really making it easy for your clients, that might be something that's valuable for you. And I think that's the thing that's valuable to your client, right? Is how yeah. easy can you make this? Yes, I need to know what you do, but maybe not.
Because I do have a couple testimonials on my homepage. I could easily like get more and kind of work those into the services page.
What are your thoughts about reusing a testimonial? Because social proof, Facebook user, sorry, we can't see your name. Social proof and case studies tend to be a better way of showing your value than a portfolio. Yeah. In some cases, in many cases, that's probably the case. I think it depends a lot on the show for sure, but yeah.
Yeah. And I think for my ideal clients, because of like the industry they're in, having testimonials from their colleagues, validating my work, I think would be super more impactful than just like me listing what I can do.
Jennifer, did you have any thoughts on that?
I agree.
Okay.
Makes sense to me. Makes me think, oh, I need to get more testimonials. Mine are really lame. I mean, they're not bad testimonials. They're just not pretty like Daniel's.
So what are your thoughts on reusing a testimonial on more than one page?
I feel like it's less impactful. So like on my homepage, having just like, hey, Daniel's great. He does good work. Whereas like on the services, like somewhere down here, like under like a new show launch section, I could have a testimonial that's specifically how we help them launch their show easily. Yeah. Or like on video, there's something kind of specific to yeah. the services as opposed to general, I love working with Roth Media.
Yeah, I think that's really the key, right? Because I know I've got mm-hmm. one testimonial that's something like, I really love working with you. And I appreciate that. And it's true and it's heartfelt and it's on my website, but it doesn't actually tell anybody why, which I think yes. is right. the key piece. It could be that they like working with me because, I don't know, I give them free stuff, like cookies. I don't know.
We like Brian for his cookies.
I mean, I'd hire you if I got cookies out of it.
So we talked about how you don't have any pricing on your page. I think you said at one point that you were thinking about putting it back on. Where are your thoughts on that right now?
I don't know. I think I'm too waffly on the idea to actually do it.
Okay.
Because I don't get new clients from my website, at least not a ton. It's mainly word of mouth. So I think like having pricing could set me apart, but then also, if they're choosing me based on my pricing, they're choosing me because like I'm a better deal as opposed to like that I'm a better fit.
Yeah. So I actually have two thoughts about that, right? One, I think you're absolutely right. There are a certain number of value shoppers that interpret value as the number of things I can get for the price I can get them for, not necessarily the quality of the thing that I get. I think there's also a certain number of clients. There's also a certain hurdle. Right. If somebody has $0 to spend on production services, they can't afford me or you or Jennifer. I think there's kind of a both and that's where I'm a bit stuck on my website. I currently don't have pricing. We'll take a look at it in a minute. I did want to hit Jesse's comment. Is it possible you don't get clients because you don't list prices while others do?
It's very possible. But I think that kind of comes down to like, and that's the thing. Do they just like see my website and assume that I'm probably out of their price? And I think about like what I look for when I go on a website and look for services, like I'm very drawn to the pricing. And if I don't see pricing, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Like that's very possible.
Yeah.
And if I have any, if anybody has suggestions to like test that out, because the people that choose not to go with me because I don't have prices aren't going to let me know.
Right. I would say, and I realize I'm probably not the perfect case study for you, but if I go to, and I'm just going to use software as a service because it's the easiest thing to pick on, right? If I go to the website for, I don't know, Descript or something like that, and they have this great thing with a 2-day free trial, call for pricing, mm-mm. I'm never going to call for pricing.
Nope.
Because I am not willing to get on the phone with you if I don't have any inkling of what I might be giving up.
Yeah. And also, like, if I do have pricing, I can weed out people that can't afford me before we get on a call. And I sell myself just to get to the pricing when it's like, it was never within their budget. Like, no matter how good a sales pitch I am, like, my pricing could just be out of their budget. And we could save a lot of time just by listing the pricing and kind of get that out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, if
early on,
if they're on a beer and donuts budget, they're never going to buy a Bugatti from me, right? Because it's not in the budget. So I've been back and forth on my site. Oh, I'm sorry, Daniel, were you going to say something else?
Well, I was going to ask, like, for those that are currently watching, do you have prices on your websites? And have you gained any, like, do you know that you've gained clients because you had your prices on your websites? Kind of two separate questions there.
What about like putting a range on, I mean, saying like services vary from X dollars to Y dollars.
Yeah. Or rates starting at.
Yeah. Or something like
that. So I'll show what I've done. And I'm kind of currently in the sort of phase in terms of how prices are listed on my website. So it's not super obvious. And I'll just share that because so at one point, well, at multiple points, I have taken pricing off of my website as I try to find the right screen to share. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah. Early on in my podcast editing career, I had like three packages and like had my prices listed and like had a whole like shebang there.
Yeah. So I'm still doing the three packages because everybody knows that pricing has to come in packages of three. That's just the,
yeah, the thing. Right, obviously. Right.
And I've shared before that part of the reason I put pricing onto my website in the first place was because I found that I was negotiating with myself before I ever quoted a price to people. So it's like, okay, well, if it's there, it's locked in. Then I took it off because I was raising my price every time I booked a client. Then I had some stability. So I put it back on. And then I don't know, probably 12 months, 9 months ago, something like that, I was talking with a prospective client and I listed the price and they said, well, on your website, it looks like it starts here. And I had forgotten to update my website pricing when I did my new rate sheet. Aww. So I have a client who got a great deal because yeah. I hadn't updated my pricing. So I took it back off. And what I've done, I don't know if you can even see it, but I just put in there, engagements start as low as $625 a month for weekly shows, right? And I don't know that that's prominent enough. But I also know that I didn't want to have three sets of pricing or two and a call me or something like that. And I didn't want to list a range. So I put it on like that. I'm trying to figure out, and maybe this is something where you or the people in the chat can offer some insight about how I can draw a little bit more attention to that without making it like danger, danger, Will Robinson. Or maybe I should. I don't know. I'll leave that open to you guys.
No, let's make it bright red.
Bright red.
And underlined in bold.
Bright red on a black background, so it looks like death, right?
Exactly. Nobody will miss it.
I mean, bold and italics would work too.
I think having maybe like slightly larger font.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can
to kind of like set it apart. But also, so like looking at that, so like kind of thinking back to like what I know about the psychology of like how people like look at a webpage. Mm-hmm. And they typically skip that section.
Right.
And they'll go straight to your pricing. And so maybe having it, and I don't know if, I'm assuming it looks like you, I think you use Divi.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to code anything.
Yeah. So I don't know if there was a way to like in between where it says like the title boxes, having it something there or just somewhere kind of like in that area.
So, I mean, I can put pricing in this area. I just didn't because I thought it looked really janky to have it on one or two and not all of them. And I didn't want to have pricing on every package. I wanted to basically give kind of a baseline. This is where we start and then allow for a conversation.
But also, isn't a little misleading? So like start as low as $6.25 per month, but if they're just doing single episode, it wouldn't be.
Sure.
Or is that like you don't do like one-offs?
So yeah, engagement start as low as $6.25 a month for weekly shows. Right. So if they have a monthly show, your pricing is going to be different. I'm not going to bill you for four episodes if you produce one.
Right.
But I didn't want to put something like engagement start as low as, I'm going to make up a number, $25 a month and have them think that's for a weekly show up to an hour with 57 participants. Right. That's not.
Right.
And so what I did was I just put that on there. So it puts a little bit of that hurdle, but it doesn't provide a lot of clarity because to Steve's point, he doesn't have pricing on his website because his entire goal is to get them on the phone, right? So I agree. I want to get them on the phone. However, I also wanted to provide a little bit of pre-screening because I had probably three prospective clients in a row mid last year where I got on the phone with them. We talked about all this stuff. Everything sounded great. I sent them a proposal and they went, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." Right. Even before we started talking, I was like, okay, I realize that you've not had anybody edit your show before. Do you have a budget for this? And then it was like, oh, well, it's that much. I'm like, you know, for what you're asking, because it was pretty detailed and a lot. I'm like, and I don't remember what the quote is, but let's say it was $900 a month. It wasn't. That's not unreasonable, right? You might be able to find somebody on Fiverr to do it for that, maybe, but you might not. And so I started kind of putting that back on there. I'd like to go through this and show what I've put on there and then see if there are elements that I need to add to mine as well. But I do want to hit also, Steve likes the three packages summary. And then Jesse says that he has a range on his site. Jesse, if you don't mind us looking at your website, do you want to drop the link in the chat and we'll kind of look through that so we can see how you've implemented that? And of course, if you don't want to, don't feel like you have to. I said when they've done their research, it tells us that the pricing is important for anybody searching for a service provider. It's a source of friction that turns away leads. I've not done a ton of research on this. I would tend to agree with that. So mine, and I tried to lay out this services section really similar to how a software company would do it, right? Mm-hmm. And this, interestingly, is not terribly dissimilar from how I send a proposal. I typically will send a very simple, like a one-page proposal that says, this is option one, option two, maybe option three. And option one will have like two things that I do. And then option two will have those two things plus the other stuff and so on and so forth. So I do list all of the things. I'm kind of, part of me says this is too detailed, probably overwhelming. And part of me says, part of me is afraid to take off all the details and let them just use their imagination.
There's a lot of words here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it kind of comes down to what we're talking about earlier when you think of your ideal client. Do they want to know all that information?
Sure.
Because like for me, like my clients don't, because I'm selling like the convenience and ease of having a podcast as opposed to...
Not the difficulty of reading a sales page. No, that's fair, right?
Yeah. There's lots of words.
I've got the big thing at the front with a call to action, get started, and then a secondary call to action, see the portfolio, which is just when it comes up, three episodes from three different shows, right? So it's a total of three that just says, hey, this is some selected stuff I've worked on. I've got my packages. I've got something around a launch. This has no pricing on it because I find that launches are typically pretty custom. Another call to action because I always need more. And then an FAQ section. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I know, Daniel, you have an FAQ on your site. Do you think that's anything worth looking at, like, or having?
I think it might be. I don't have one, but I've looked at both of yours and went, huh, maybe I should have one of those.
I don't know. I did it because I saw other websites do it.
If it was me, it's not because I knew what I was doing. I just heard that I was supposed to.
Exactly. That's how a lot of my stuff is.
Okay. When I think about things that I think should potentially be on a sales page, there's definitely the piece about, on mine, about potentially missing the prices. I mean, I've got it there, but it's not super obvious. One of the things that I'm always thinking, and I've already asked the question once, is there some part of this that's creating a hurdle that makes it harder for my ideal client to get past the page or to basically stop before they make the call, but isn't weeding out the people I don't want? I don't have the answer for that, but I guess, you know, for those of you watching, that would definitely be something worth thinking through. Any other comments that you guys have from my page? Anything that you think is missing or stupid to have on there?
Can you scroll down more? Can I just go?
It's really long.
All the words.
So many words.
I think there's one that's really obvious that I'm missing that we talked about for years, Daniel.
What's that?
This page has like no testimonials.
Yeah. Is there like I guess you have to get started.
So yeah, I've got actually three different calls to action on the page. The get started, actually get started at the top, get started again. The form that you'll fill out to get started, and then that's it. So three plus the actual form.
So like I like having like on my website, like I had an entire like width of the webpage that was like a get started thing. It's like, for me, it's like a little bit easier to see and like really gets their attention.
Oh, full width?
Yeah. Instead of like having just a button.
Steve agrees with you guys. Too many words and no pictures makes Jack a dull boy. So yeah, that I think my action is to figure out what words I can take off.
And I think we both could benefit from having more photos of like our ideal clients, like actually podcasting. Because my website has a ton of like microphones and equipment and mixing boards and stuff like that. People who look like my ideal client in the process of podcasting.
Oh, nice. So you're talking like getting all the terrible Canva photos.
No. I use Pexels. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, you're way cooler than I am.
Yeah. I'm bougie like that.
That's a great comment, Steve. Thank you for that. Definitely missing. So yeah, Jesse, thank you for sharing your website. Hopefully at some point I can actually... Do you want to go ahead and display yours, Daniel?
Yeah. I mean, click here and it takes you right down to the packet, which is really nice. Because if like somebody's just wanting to get straight to it and now I have like the more flavor, that's like a really good little thing there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Really nice kind of like hero image right there. And then honestly, okay, the font on this and just like it's really appealing to me. And that's something I struggle with a lot is like finding the right font. And I feel like this one does a really good job at that.
Yeah. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised that Jesse's website is totally rocking it out because between him, he and his wife, they just do great stuff. I like the way the pricing page works on his. The coloring is really interesting. I'm looking to see what theme it is because, you know, I might want to learn from Generate Press. Very nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I
is this Divi?
No, it's Generate Press is what I saw.
Oh, okay.
I've not worked with it, but this looks really, really cool. The testimonials mm-hmm. are great. So if we use Jesse's as an ideal solution.
There's a picture.
A great example, right? So you got a picture of him. You've got a list of why you need his stuff, right? Or the things that they mm-hmm. offer and why you need it. So editing, mixing and mastering, all this stuff. A little bit about another piece about why you need them. Their packages with pricing. And starts at, and then 150 per episode. I think that's...
Yeah. I do want to point out, so I was saying like not to get that, I don't want to get too technical on mine. And it's like, yeah, you have engineering, mixing and mastering, which are like a industry jargon. But when you read the text, like it's in layman terms. Like anybody reading this will understand like what they're getting out of it without being like overwhelmed with the technical jargon that they don't know. So I feel like there's enough there that's like, that exudes like the professionalism of, and like expertise of being like an audio engineer without like overwhelming them with industry terms. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it really does. Jesse, not a surprise, but good job.
Excellent. Yeah, starts at, and this is kind of what I was thinking on yours, Brian, is having, cause like this really gets your attention.
Yeah.
Of the pricing.
And I really like the whole popular tag over white glove. Right. That does a great job of calling that one out.
Can we highlight Jesse's comments? The last one.
Yes. Cause that's the key, right?
Yeah. I cannot express this enough. We are communicating to our clients, not other editors. So what does your client want to hear and what are they looking for when they're looking to hire you?
So one other thing that I didn't notice on his page that both you and I have, Daniel, is FAQ.
Oh.
Jesse says that Tara gets all the credit. Yeah. She's been a guest on the show before. Great insights. Mm. And Steve says, great design, easy to peruse. And hey, a picture. So yeah, thanks for calling me out, Steve. You're the best.
Yeah. Jesse, have you gotten feedback about your FAQs, or like, do you have anything saying that they were useful? Because I think like an FAQ, I don't think there's really a situation where it's not a good idea unless you have like bad questions. Like, are you good at what you do? Yes, we are fantastic.
It's yeah. Every FAQ that comes out when there's been a recall, right? What happened? We're issuing a voluntary retrieval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas looking at Jesse's, it's like, what are your qualifications? Turnaround time, I think, is a great thing. One I saw was like, what payments method? What do you accept? Like, how do you invoice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good stuff. We had another one that was dropped in by a Facebook user. Do we want to move on to that one?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
And apologies, we just can't see your name, but we edit podcast.com. Oh, you've already got it up. Excellent.
Yeah.
So we were thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at this while you were talking because I like to double task, you know. This to me looks like, how can I create a virtual sales call where I never have to talk to people and they can know exactly. And I don't say that in a disparaging way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is targeted to people that want to know what it's going to cost before they ever call, but they want to build their own package.
Yeah, this feels very much like a scaled, not bespoke, but just kind of like a productized turnstile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, the way this is laid out is incredible, right? It's got the three steps to take at the top, so you know exactly what you need to do. They've got if you scroll back to the top, it flows really well, right? You've got your mm-hmm. three steps, yeah. 1, 2, 3. They've got a short FAQ. They don't call it that, mm-hmm. right? But what do these words mean? And then it goes immediately to the estimator. I mean, they clearly know what their clients want.
And like, this is a very well done kind of being able to get pricing. Technically speaking, like, it's really good.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, I don't know that my client would want that. And honestly, I'm not sure that I would want the clients that do, because I want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. But I think for what this is, because I've thought about how to implement this, this kind of thing can be really incredible.
But for me, technically speaking, like the coding and everything, like it's really well done, but it complicates. And I think Facebook user mentioned it, it'd make it too complicated, or I wouldn't make it too complicated. Like, this feels very like overwhelming, like so many things to like put in and think about. Like, it's just a really long form.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to get down to like, and it's like, oh yeah, these things are cool. Yeah, I want uploading. And then it's like, you do all this to get like this huge price tag at the end. It's like, oh, and now I'm kind of like tweaking my thing. Like, okay, what do I really need? What don't I need?
Yeah.
And now it's like, now I'm too focused on the price.
Yeah. And I think to each their own, right? This obviously works for a portion of the market, or they wouldn't be doing it, right? I mean, you don't run a productized service business very long offering things that people don't want to actually purchase.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse makes a good point. It's too productized. Most clients want to know that there's people behind the company. This setup makes me think they outsource all of the work. And that's mm-hmm. also like part of the idea behind like how I design my website and like how I present myself is it's me and my wife.
Right.
Like, we are like real human beings that you work with to do this thing, as opposed to hiring Podcast Editing Incorporated.
Right.
Do you want to move on to the example from Daryl's website?
Can do.
So Steve mentioned that Daryl Darnell's website does it really well. There's a link in the top bar that's podcast editing services. So I've looked at his before. I really like this table, right? I think this is really well done. And the call to action is really clear, right? You just click the button to get started. The thing I'm not so sure about on his is, once you get past that, there's a lot. I mean, if you want to talk about words, Steve, there's a lot of words in the mm-hmm. in what the different packages are. I don't disagree that those are needed. I didn't want to do that on mine. But yeah, I mean, the way he's done his pricing package is great.
Mm-hmm.
Or his package pricing. That's what it is. I can't do my words today. And I mean, who am I to argue? This is obviously working for him and his business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to like rag on it too much when he's not here to kind of.
No.
And also, like, the font, like, the typeface, like, I really like the font. Like, it's, and, like, I love, like, this color, like, the contrast. So, like, it's clear, like, when a new section starts, like, this all goes together.
I'd like to reiterate Jesse's comment, right? They're communicating to their clients. So the fact that parts of this website don't resonate with me is irrelevant.
Right.
Because I'm not Daryl's ideal client. I actually offer these services, right?
Yeah.
What about those of you in the chat? Is there anything that you think needs to be on a website or shouldn't be on a sales page or anything like that that we haven't talked about yet? Because we want more insights. While they're doing that, Steve did have a couple of comments. He agrees with me, which means I'm right, but I'm actually not. And then, you know, one thing is they are locked into their prices, but having set prices also makes it way easier for invoicing. Yeah. Steve says samples of work.
That need to be there or not be there? What's the answer to that?
Knowing Steve, I'm going to guess examples are there.
That should be there, yeah.
Okay.
And I will highlight something I think, Brian, that you did really well was, at least I think this is what I saw, is you had like a media player from the host, your client's hosting.
No, I used the embedded player from Castomatic because not all of my clients use the same media host and I wanted the same look and feel on every page, but I wanted to, but I'm not rehosting the file. I wanted to make sure they got credit for all the downloads.
That's the point I was trying to make is that because I had like a portfolio page. Well, I guess I advertised audiograms this way, but I don't think I actually had like any. So you could hear like the audio work, but it was embedded on my website, like the file and everything. But like having it, so like they're getting linked to their RSS feed or their, so they get the download credit, I'm trying to say, is good.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I tried to do with mine because I didn't want to take away any of that. But I also didn't want to have a Libsyn player for one and a Captivate for another one. And I think I've got one that's on Acast now. It's just like, this works. Facebook user says that ending in 7 is a good idea. 97 sounds like 90, but the $7 are free money. So it's the whole 99 cent thing. Steve disagrees. I think he's probably disagreeing with that particular comment. Kind of 50-50 on that. If I see something that ends in a 7, I think internet marketing people taught them how to do their pricing.
I also think because we all know that Target and Walmart and everybody does that and why they do it. So when I think, when I see like something 97, I think like a sale or a discount or a marketing scheme.
Right.
As opposed to when I think of like high end professional services, I'm thinking like, you know, $2,500, like a solid round number.
Yeah. So that's actually the logic that I took for mine. Is the value pricing is always like rounded down, if you will. And premium pricing or premium products are always like even dollars, like 63,000 or 625 or something like that. So I always tried to end with a 5 or a 0 to, so that I made it clear. I'm not trying to sneak it under the radar as one penny less so that it looks better. Like we're that.
Yeah. And I'm also not like a discount service.
Yeah.
Jesse says about us, price range, services, and social proof. So yeah, I mean, the one thing we probably didn't talk about was about us. Did you have that on your website, Daniel? I don't remember.
I think I did.
I do have that. I do have an about me on mine.
Yeah. So no, I don't. I have like one sentence on the top of my homepage and I have like a little blurb on the homepage, but nothing about me, which I think is something that Jesse did well, was he had that little blurb about him on his services page
and that,
with his face.
That is not something that I have that on that page, right? I have it on my website, but not there. Steve disagrees with us on the episode player. Why would you put a player for your clients' shows on your site? Are you trying to get, are you catering to them or helping them find new listeners? Put samples. So I'll just share my logic. The reason I did an episode player rather than a short sample was because I've known some people that maybe post samples of things that they didn't really work on. And so if I put up the full episode, it's really clear where it came from, whose it is. If they want to follow up with the show's host, they can. Because I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like there's a certain amount of fighting against the perception that sometimes people don't operate with integrity within really any industry, but especially something that's new where there aren't really standards. I'm not saying that I'm right. That's just why I did it. And it also gives me an opportunity to say to my clients, hey, I'd like to, you know, I realize that this is written in that I can use your materials as promotional materials. I'd like to feature you on my website. Can I do that? So then it creates a little bit more of an opportunity to have that conversation. But that's just me. I don't know. What do you guys think?
So I am in favor of having a full episode because whenever I'm looking for like a service or something where I am not an expert in, I don't know like what's good and what's not. So if I look at, I don't really have an example, but I'm just thinking like with my clients, they're not audio engineers. They're not editors. They're solopreneurs. And so I could have like a 30-second clip from a show, but do they really know like what's it being highlighted? Whereas like I can present a full episode with the intro music and like the canned intro and all this. So they can really like envision themselves being a podcaster. I mean, like I could have an episode like this with all the bells and whistles and everything.
So Steve had some clarifications. He says that could be a separate page, which is what I did. Just wouldn't include full episode players on my sales page. So I definitely didn't, right? I put that on my portfolio page. I think that's a great point, right? But to Steve's point, as long as we have permission from our clients, I don't see any reason that you couldn't include a sample, even if it's just a minute of the finished episode. On a personal level, I'm not a huge fan of the before and after or the after and before, because I don't want to showcase my clients like what I have to do, which is, yeah. I realize, a little bit challenging, because part of what I want to do is highlight what I do, but without highlighting the what has to be overcome. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no, I totally agree. There's some, you don't want to throw your clients under the bus for recording in a cave.
Oops, clicked on the wrong one. Jesse says, from a legal standpoint, easier to do an episode player. Clips get into copyrights and agreements. But I guess that's the thing that we all deal with, right? And so how we answer the question and how we approach it is really up to us and what's right for our clients, both existing and prospective.
I'll also add that these opinions are based on like my ideal client. But if you are somebody who's looking to, or who's like ideal client are currently podcasters doing the editing and everything themselves, then like very much they'll probably want to know all the technical jargon. Like they want all that, because if they're going to hand off their baby, like this show that they've been editing up until this point, they want to make sure that is somebody who's capable of editing it the way they do.
Yeah. I guess part of that, I think, comes through if you can get them on a sales call, right? Part of your ability to instill confidence in them comes from that, but part of it definitely comes from the website. Facebook user says, get them to sign off on before and after, got their permission. Generic mistakes that everybody makes. So yeah, good stuff. Steve, no need to apologize. It's all good.
And I think I misunderstood what your objection was.
But you know what? This got us to a part of the conversation we never would have gone to if we hadn't, which I think is a really valuable insight. If somebody hasn't thought about copyright concerns, if they're using a portion and hasn't run it by their client. But also, if you are thinking about putting full episodes on your sales page, I think Steve's right. It probably doesn't go there. I think it goes great on a portfolio page.
Yeah. And like how you had at the top of your page, like a link to your portfolio.
Yeah. And I'm only about 50% happy with having that link there, because I would really like to only have one call to action. I just didn't know where else to put it. Like, not that I don't have real estate. I mean, it's a web page. I can make it as long as I want it. But where should it go? Where should it live? That was the challenge for me. I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I think this was really good.
Okay. So Poddex question of the day. This is the chance for our audience to chime in again in case you were nervous about the other stuff. Jennifer, what number do you want? 1 through 5?
3.
You always pick 3, don't you?
It's like my mom's favorite number.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay, Jennifer, I picked 2.
Too late.
Wait. No. I got my Poddex. Let me pick a...
I didn't realize you had some, Daniel. That's great. The question for today, and you can definitely join us in the chat if you're interested. What's your recurring nightmare?
Oh, I have 2. So I'll start like literal nightmares. The one is where I'm back in high school and failing all my classes. And then I'm like, this is so stupid. I already have a college degree. I don't care about your dumb class anyway. I have that one a bunch. And then the other one is where I can't stop my car.
Oh,
that's a scary one. I don't like that one.
That's not a good one. Well, I mean, like that is based in reality, because like that happens.
Yeah.
It's like, that's really scary. Yeah.
I don't like the one where I can't stop my car. But the high school one where I have art, I'm like, I already have a degree. This is so dumb. I'm not coming to class.
That's great. I don't know that I have a nightmare, but I do have three things that are all podcast related that are probably approaching undiagnosed OCD, but maybe not completely. Like, I don't want to give myself credit for something I haven't been diagnosed with, but it's, did I hit record? Did I actually publish the client's episode to the wrong show? And did I save that backup before I deleted the original? I always check at least twice. Is it really in Dropbox before I do, like, that's a given.
Yeah. So I had a recurring nightmare when I was a child. And that's where me and my brothers were on one side of the street in our house. My cousins were on the other side of the street. And we were like fighting each other with like mech suits, but we couldn't fire our missiles and they just like fell out. I had like that dream for a long time. But as far as like, nowadays, the closest thing would be like my anxiety of like waking up like 7 a.m. and just being like, did I schedule that episode properly? Like, did I make a mistake? Yes. Did I forget to do something? Like, oh no, I think I forgot something. So I run to the office and like double check it. Like, okay, it's fine. That's my, okay. Monday mornings are the worst time of my sleep because the majority of my shows release on Monday. So like, it's a lot more work. And so it's like Monday morning, it's just like, and I have my assistant, like once episodes go live, she goes and like checks a bunch of stuff. So it's like, I'm getting in Slack, seeing if I have a message from her, but like, did I mess something up this week? Most of the time, no, but still like that anxiety is always there.
Steve has a good one. He says he's floating higher and higher, then he starts to fall, but he never makes it all the way down. And then he starts to float up again and it keeps repeating until he wakes up. That.
Not pleasant.
No.
Okay. That actually reminds me of like an actual like nightmare. Oh, no. Over like my life. It's where like I'm running along grass, like having a good time. And I don't realize that I'm on the edge of a cliff and end up like running off the cliff. That one.
Oh, yeah. That sounds fun. Well, on that note, I think we've probably run this thing off a cliff. What do you think?
Maybe.
Daniel, if somebody wants to be a guest or suggest a topic for us, what would they do?
Just head on over to our website, podcasteditorsmastermind.com. Go to /be a guest and fill out the form, send us a message, and we will be in contact.
Yeah. Sometimes the things we talk about actually come from that. And we think that those topics are actually better than the ones that we come up with because those are the ones that you actually want to hear. So yeah. Love to see that. Is there anything else we need to talk about before we close it out? I think we've gotten everything, but I haven't hosted in a bit.
I think we're good.
Be a guest. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Tune in again in a couple weeks.
Yeah. And if you're listening to YouTube, we're glad to be there too. It's fun.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the recorded podcast, then we invite you to join the live stream over on Facebook every other Thursday for the most part and join in the conversation because a lot of the fun and enjoyment from the show and all of the value comes from you all in the comments, kind of giving your feedback and telling us what we need to be doing.
You guys are idiots. What are you talking about? Let me on the show. No, it's the value a lot of times is in the comments is great. I'm Brian Ensminger. You can find me at toptieraudio.com. And over here is
Jennifer Longworth of bourbonbarrelpodcasting.com. And next to me is
Daniel Abendroth of rothmedia.audio.
Unable to join us tonight was Carrie Caulfield Eric, who you can find at carrie.land, where you will be welcomed to Carrie Land. That's it for tonight. Thanks for joining us. We'll try and figure out how to hang up on this thing. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
How much is that?
There we go. Just three more clicks and we're done.